Welcome to the Revenue Marketing Report, powered by CaliberMind. This is the podcast for B2B marketers looking to get into leadership. I'm your host, Kamala Thompson, and today I'm joined by Nicholas Zeisler, or Z, as I'll be calling him throughout this podcast. Z, you made it to day 3 in this marathon. I want to thank you for sticking around.
It feels like nothing, Kamala.
Awesome.
I'm just glad that 3 days in a row we were able to find time.
Yes. And not have to change in between.
I feel refreshed. Although it looks like 72 hours I've been in the same thing, I still feel incredibly refreshed. And it's because of this tremendous conversation we're having. You keep me vibrant.
Well, it's the magic of podcasting. Yeah. I really can't take credit for it. But today I am excited. We're going to be talking about why you should look outside of your go-to-market team as well. You should look in it, but also look outside of it to improve your customer experience. Z, why don't you illuminate?
Yeah, in fact, we kind of chatted about this 2 days ago when we started the conversation about how CX, if we're getting it right, if we're knocking on, you know, all pistons, CX should be enterprise wide. And that's because the customer is interacting with your brand sometimes even before you're involved. And it's a truly customer-centric organization that recognizes that and dedicates itself to making real in the daily lives of their customers that brand promise, no matter where on, as we call it, the customer's journey that they happen to be at any one point. What we alluded to a couple days ago was the idea of the engineering or the product or the delivery teams. Well, it's a no-brainer that they're thinking, hey, our product's brand promise or our service's brand promise is to be easy to use. So we dedicate all we have to making things easier to use. Is it the least expensive? Nope, not necessarily. I mean, we beat some other competitors, those luxury brands. We're less expensive than them, but we're a little bit more expensive than the discount brand. Why is that? Well, because we're dedicating ourselves to making ourselves easy to use. That ease costs a little bit more, and that's how we deliver on that. Great. So you talk to them, you go down to the engineering department, again, the people that get the bad reputation of not loving the customer enough, and they'll tell you chapter and verse all the work that they're doing to try to deliver on that brand promise. And then the example that I used the other day was, talk to your legal department, though, and say, hey, do you believe that your job, in part, is to deliver on the brand promise of our corporation? And they go, no, my job is to keep us all out of jail. It's like, well, yeah, but in the spirit of that, when you do that, and as you're doing that, are you delivering the brand promise? And you'd alluded to like AR, accounts receivable, all right? What is the billing and remittance experience like for your customers? If I were to come and talk to you about CX and we talk about your product or your service that you deliver, we could go on all day about whether or not you're delivering on that brand promise and whether or not the people responsible that really internalized that delivery and what it is that you're striving to be on behalf of your customers and on behalf of your brand and making that alignment. But if I were to say, okay, so now let's talk about some of these ancillary things. Let's talk about when you bill. Like, well, we send a bill within 7 days, just like the contract says. That's great. That's awesome. But what's the experience? Does manage, because a common concern for a lot of brands is, oh, this bill is hard to understand. And what is this line item here? And so forth. So ease of use is valuable there, even if that's not your brand promise. But depending on what your brand promise is, what is that experience with that ancillary / support a part of the journey that your customer is going through? Do you even think about that when it comes to your brand promise, or is it just off the shelf, just like any other brand? Those companies that consider that all the way through that entire journey are the ones who are knocking that brand promise out of the park.
Yeah, I've been officially triggered because I've consulted with brands. Their whole brand promise is white glove experience, luxury. And they have an evergreen clause, and this particular customer isn't too happy. So we're just going to let that slide underneath the rug. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's in complete contradiction to everything that you've promised. Like, yeah. how do we be able to, like, we need to be able to communicate to them that this is coming. And in order to do that, maybe we need to fix something ahead of time. How do we get that done? Can we?
Yeah. Yeah. Because letting something like that sneak up on your clients is not a very luxurious experience.
Or white glove.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah. Yeah. Surprises are not what you expect. Well, some surprises, pleasant surprises are something that you expect if that's the brand promise, but certainly not something like that.
Yeah. Zero downtime. That's a surprise I enjoy. It's just
there you go. There's another brand promise. You're and here you go. And we'll use that as an example. Zero downtime, because we are the high quality, always up, always running. You can always count on us. We're reliable. All right. Now here's the problem for that brand. And I'm not trying to discourage that as a brand promise, but that company that is reliable, always up, zero downtime as the brand promise, unfortunately for them, lives in the same world, Kamala, as you and I. And, you know, sometimes, oh, I don't know, a major cell company just stops working for a day, for example. Well, now what do you do? Well, what is your recovery experience? How is it that you take care of your customers when something out of your control happens? And is that contingency plan built in a way that the contingency itself delivers on your brand promise? Right? When you say always up, there's always an asterisk there, right? Mm-hmm. But what's behind that asterisk? Is that asterisk, which I call the recovery plan, is that in line with your brand promise as well? And that, by the way, brand promise, that when we're always 100% up, the experience when you go down is different from your competitor, the discount brand, say, when they go down. Okay, well, we have a discount way to take care of you when that's the case. We realize that, you know, since this is the business we're in, we had one job and we're going to go down sometimes too. But because we're the discount brand, our recovery process is, frankly, a discount recovery process. Right?
Yeah.
You make that on the back end because you pay us less. That's why you came here to us as the discount brand. If you wanted always reliable, always up, and heaven forbid the times when it goes down, even that is an always up type of an experience, a high quality experience, you should have gone with them. We gave you the discount, and that's what you got, was discount, which is not to say that we half-ass it or we don't care, because again, you had one job. But at the same time, that recovery experience should line up with what your brand promise is. That's where you say, it's not just go to market. It's not just that. It's not just the marketing. It's not just even the delivery and the engineering. It's the whole ball of wax. Mm-hmm. Everything, every part of the organization should be delivering on that. And for that matter, and I'll take it, and I don't know if you wanted to go here, Kamala, but it should even be the way you interact with yourself. Your HR team, your culture team, your people team should be delivering the brand promise internally to the entire organization as well. When you pass things back and forth to different departments, you should be sharing that with each other. Now you're really living your brand promise and you're sharing it with each other, drinking your own champagne, as they say. That makes it a lot easier when you're saying, well, we treat our customers this same way, this same fantastic way. We deliver the brand promise to our customers in the same way that we deliver it to each other. Well, now you're really living it.
Yep. Thinking of so many misaligned teams right now. I just couldn't. Yep. That's where I went.
There's a silly cliche about, you know, you take care of your people, they'll take care of your customers. And it's a silly cliche partly because it's true. I mean, inside every silly cliche is yeah, well, that's tautological. Of course, that's the case. Yeah. But it makes it a lot easier culturally to live that high quality, always up. We always take care of it and we get it up and running. If you treat your onboarding the same way when you bring a new team member on, you know, if you run your meetings in that way internally, like, okay, well, because this is our culture and this is what we do. Mm-hmm. So it's not just all the different ways that you interact with your customer. It's the way that you interact internally as a team.
Yeah. And I've been at companies that were highly transparent. People collaborated to solve problems for the customer. It was magic. Yeah, it can exist. It does exist. It doesn't exist often enough.
Yeah. You know, I often allude to how it's going to seem corny, but it's so true. It's that mission and vision. It's your corporate values and principles. What you have etched in the marble in the lobby, that's really how you should run your company.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets, a lot of those are just hand waved away. It's like, we this is the thing. We have a mission statement and there's the thing. It's like, no, but you know what? It really can make things run a lot smoother if you no kidding believe it and live it. You'll recognize it yourselves as a team, and your customers will recognize it because that's what they're experiencing when they interact with you.
100%. So I was also thinking of other ways this shows up that we maybe don't think about all the time. Although as consumers, we do. I'm thinking of when you go to the website and you interact with chat and it's this bot and you're just typing human into
person,
it over
person,
and over.
Person, yeah.
Yeah. Or calling into the company, same experience.
Mm-hmm.
Human, yeah. Send me to a human.
Yeah.
Those are big ways that marketing can help impact the rest of the organization.
I'll tell you what, that's and as we alluded to a couple days ago, in fact, marketing gets it. Your marketing department knows that there's value in feedback and customer insights. More importantly, they know what that value is,
mm-hmm.
which is you can improve, you can change and get better and become more aligned as a result of internalizing and acting upon it. They should take the lead in that. Look what we did. And I'll tell you what, if you're a marketing team, what you don't want to be is, hi, I'm Z, I'm from marketing. Let me tell you what you should do differently over here. But what you can be is, hey, here's an example where we learned from an experience where we integrated feedback and insights from our customers, and this is how we change things. Y'all can do it too.
I think you have to be really cautious, though. You're going to seem really tone deaf if you're taking that feedback from a population that isn't your ideal customer profile, that's aspirational, that's outside of the organization. I think it really benefits marketing to understand their ideal customer profile, acceptable and unacceptable, and that you're really driving towards understanding what exactly makes that ideal customer profile delighted. Maybe not right now. I think the exception to that may be very, very early stage where they're still trying to figure out product market fit. It's a little different.
Yeah, you know, the leverage of these tools and of this discipline is actually oftentimes more valuable to an organization that is done with spinning plates and just getting it out the door and hope the code compiles and that sort of thing. Once you get to a position where you feel like you would be comfortable getting offsite with the leadership team and saying, okay, this is why we got into this business. This is what our core principles are all about. Are we actually manifesting that? Are we living these things? Well, that's a real sweet spot to say, by the way, let's also invite, maybe not physically and literally, but let's also invite our customers' perspective into that conversation as well. Because if you're at that position, you're having that conversation, again, from a perspective of curiosity and wanting to be and live that way. Well, your customers can tell you whether or not in the real world, outside of your doors, you know, when your product or service gets there, they can tell you whether or not that's actually what's coming through. And again, validate, you see it yourself, but that's a great opportunity. Again, if you're willing and curious to be exposed to that sort of information, an opportunity to identify ways that you can improve the things that you do and the operations that you have in place so as to better deliver that brand promise.
See, is there anything else you'd really like to impart upon B2B marketers about CX?
Yeah, walk the talk. I don't think I need to tell marketers, because like I said, I this is such a warm place in my heart because I use marketers, as I have over the last few conversations you and I have had. I use marketers as an example of, hey, this is how it's supposed to be done. They're listening and then they're acting upon it. Those are really the two big steps. Learn about what's going wrong and where those gaps are with the purpose of then taking action based on what you've learned. Demonstrate that, live that, and then share it around. Again, not as a taskmaster, let me tell you what you need to fix over here in product, or in legal or wherever else, but as a clarion, as an example, as, hey, look, this is great. You could do it too. And then be that resource for them.
Yeah, I really encourage people to focus and communicate about what they can affect and control. And then, you know, if it goes well, I think other people are naturally going to want to imitate that. Z, where can people find you online to network and learn more about your business?
Nicholas Zeisler is my name, Zeisler. I'm on LinkedIn. You can join me on ZeislerConsulting.com, where I publish my blog, and you can learn all about CX and the background that I have there.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the Revenue Marketing Report. Please tell two friends, subscribe, download, whatever you can helps. And for those of you looking for more great content like this, check out CaliberMind.com.